This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And you guys are coming out of the woodwork, and we appreciate this. Our lines are jammed up with you, and I'll do our best to get you all on the air. Let's go right back to Vincent in Pennsylvania, downtown Pennsylvania. What's going on there, Vincent?
What else? Okay. Right now, I'm running this thing, this iMac.
Yes, sir.
On wireless. Okay. Is it worth my efforts to come up with a solution whereby I would be able to have this machine connected directly from the modem through the wireless router and back to the and receiving a signal? In other words, a hardwired internet connection as opposed to a wireless connection.
The easy answer is, are you experiencing any performance problems? Are you able to get your work done? Is there any delays, any spinning, any issues with speed?
Well, works fine.
Yeah. So then the answer would be you don't need to. Only when you start seeing those performance issues, delays, if you try to use a VPN and you start seeing there's a performance issue because, again, there's more there's encryption involved there that can slow things down. If you're happy with how things are working, there's no reason to go through all the extra effort.
Well, I'm not happy. I'm adapting.
Adapting. Ah, we heard that. We just had a veteran of the Marines talk about adapting in our office. So you're doing the same thing, adapting. So when you say you're adapting, is it spinning? Is it slow?
It's not slow. It's brand new Hisatsu iMac. It's instantaneous.
Hisatsu. Okay. All right. Then you're good. Don't do it then. Just enjoy your device.
But what I inadvertently now find myself in is with an immobile laptop.
If it's wireless, you wouldn't. Why would it be immobile? Because you're plugging into the charging port.
There's no charging port. It's a power port. There's no batteries in the thing.
There's no batteries in this device?
This is a desktop.
Oh, it's a desktop.
He said it was a Mac Mini. Yes.
Sorry. Yes. We didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're not you're not mobile. So, but again, if it's wireless and working, it doesn't matter if it's not mobile. But you could run a Cat 5 wire, a Cat 6 wire, and give it that final last connection. But if you're not unhappy with performance, why do it?
Okay. Here's my next question. As I was wandering Best Buy last night, I found myself into a world I don't know anything about, and that's laptops. Yeah. And apparently there are so-called docking devices.
Yes.
That you can connect, and it has HDMI ports, it has Ethernet ports, it has this, it has that.
Yep.
I didn't even know such things existed.
It's okay.
That may be a solution for me, because I have optical reader, I've got a few other devices I like to plug into this laptop.
Mm.
Here is my question.
Into the laptop or the mini? Help me.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Into the desktop.
Yes, it's okay.
Okay. My question is, are there standards which these docking devices have to satisfy in order to be compatible with my machine?
Yes. You need to go to Apple and ask if they have anything that supports that for your mini. They may or they may not.
He can probably get those at Best Buy. You just have to look at the on the label of the docking station and see if it's compatible with
the mini,
with the Mac Mini or with a Mac laptop, if that's what you get.
No, I've got the Mac mini. Desktop.
Right, right.
So it should say if it's compatible,
yeah,
or
and
not.
It should work, even though the docks are generally sold to be used with laptops. Mm-hmm. It will work with your Mac Mini.
Okay. Not Mac. I don't have a Mac Mini.
The Mac Desktop.
Or Desktop. Same thing.
No Mini.
It'll work with that, too. It works
okay,
with both.
Okay. The thing is, I hate like hell to plug the thing in and screw up the circuitry.
Only if it's compatible, it shouldn't screw anything up.
Right.
If it's not compatible, then it just won't work.
Right.
Well, the thing I can't wrap my head around is the fact that you can have multiple inputs into one port in my iMac.
I'm doing that right now. I have a USB adapter that's got four adapters that I can plug into one USB-C.
That's the miracle of the USB-C connections.
Yeah.
It allows all kinds of different stuff to go down one pipe.
So it's you're catching up, Vincent. So you can try this if you want. You should just see it, make sure it's compatible. Dennis thinks it will be, but just make sure that you're
You have to look at the label of whatever dock you get to make sure that it's Mac compatible.
All right.
Okay. I did see where they did say it was compatible with Microsoft products, iMac. It's compatible with everything.
There you go. Give it a shot.
However, I don't believe everything I read from these little boxes.
Fair enough to be skeptical, but if it says it's compatible, give it a shot.
Okay, but laptops are generally much lower powered. My sense is that the charging egg for the laptop batteries are usually around 70 watts.
Again, if it's compatible, it's compatible. I wouldn't go and worry that much about it. It just to make sure that your device is listed as compatible. If it is, you're good. If it's not, check with somebody at the fruit stand, the Genius Bar, the Apple Store to see if it is.
Well, they're not exactly PhD electrical engineers, you know.
They're not. I know. But they're going to do the same thing we would. Just check the model.
All right,
Vincent, we got to let you go.
Gentlemen, I thank you for your help. I'm going to bother you again sometime.
Goodbye. We're here for you. You're not a bother. All right, let's go on to who's been on the longest. MJ's going to kill me. Hey, MJ, what can we do for you?
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I have two questions, one of which is a Mission Impossible question. A friend of mine, who I've known a long time, a retired IT guy like myself, called me this morning, and he wants me to assist him in a problem that I believe is a Mission Impossible. And I'm not very good at those, so I had this brilliant idea that I'd call the IT guys at TAB.
There we go.
I love impossible problems.
All right.
He's got an old Acer, I think it's a laptop, which he says is running Windows 7.
Okay.
And it was infrequently used, and he doesn't remember the administrator's password. And then he said, well, he got a prompt which said, can you change the password, except it's a gotcha, because in order to change the password, you got to know the original password.
Yes, sir.
And he didn't write it down anywhere.
Yep.
So I believe this is a, I could believe he's S-O-O-L on this. But I thought I'd at least run it by you guys. Is there any way, I heard the earlier segment about that company Signal looking for a backdoor way to get, you know, information. Is there any backdoor way to get logged on, you know, like hitting some combination of function keys and putting your leg behind your head or clapping three times?
We could tell you.
Any way to log on?
Yeah, we could tell you, but we'd have to kill you.
Oh, you'd have to kill me.
There are tools in the old days that you could try to circumvent admin passwords, but it's less and less available these days. Also, if it's if the device has been BitLockered, it's impossible, really. You'd have to start fresh. So if you can go to a recovery, an operating system recovery, right, Dennis? I mean, that'd be a way to get the machine.
Yeah, it would get you in the machine, but, that might be an option.
So if you do the recovery, it'll be back to factory fresh. You wouldn't have any access to whatever data was on there.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about it. He said he doesn't. Well, this is kind of a confusing thing. He wants, it sounds like he wants to log on as the administrator because he wants to scrub the drive or a lot of what's on the drive.
Okay.
Which leads me to my second question. Years ago, I used to work for an engineering company, and I was involved in administrating some of their CAD/CAM special machines.
Yeah.
And they did security work for the government, and periodically they'd have to scrub their machines down to the bit level and do it multiple times to wipe the drive clean.
Yeah.
So my second question is, can you go buy a scrubbing piece of software for Windows that will not require you to know the administrator's password to run?
Yes. Yeah. You would take the drive out of the computer, though, and you would buy a digital shredding software, basically. You would put the drive in an enclosure. You would then tell the software to digitally shred the drive when it sees it on your USB, you know, you connect it via USB or USB-C. That would be a way to digitally shred, put zeros and ones randomly over the drive. But you have to get the digital software. And I think you may want to check with OnTrack on that. They're a recovery company, but I think they might have the shredding software too. I'm not positive, but it is out there.
You were saying something before about a recovery.
You could try to put the machine into a recovery mode. If there's a recovery area of that computer, that Acer machine, you'd bring it up and bring it back to factory fresh.
Yeah, you'd do it at boot time.
Yeah,
you'd get into the boot menu when the computer starts. Probably. What brand was it again?
Acer.
Acer.
It's an Acer.
I think that's that their boot menu button is the escape key, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
At any rate, you just hit that key over and over while it's starting up. You get the boot menu, and one of those options should be to go into a recovery or a reset.
Yeah.
Either word may show up in the menu, and then that would just go in and just reinstall Windows fresh as if the computer were new.
And it wouldn't require an administrator's password?
No, it's going to start over because you're not having access to any of the data.
Yeah, you're not. No. You're not going to be using.
But you would have at least the rudiments of a operating system.
Yeah,
you'd have the whole operating system. Hopefully.
Yeah, it would have whatever version of Windows it started with. You said it might have been Windows 7. Yeah, that's how it'll be.
If it has that feature, if the software is there, we don't know if it's.
Some computers don't have that recovery partition properly set up, and it may not be an available option. But if it's there, if you see it in the boot menu and you can do it, then that would be a way to get in.
Yep.
That sounds like the best idea I've heard so far, because we've tried pressing. He's done Google searches on, you know, the topic at hand here, and they address Windows 11 and Windows 10, and he's tried a few of those, and he's gotten nowhere. But that idea you have there sounds pretty interesting.
Well, hopefully you have a recovery partition. If you don't, then you're back to the other idea. And if you're just looking to make it so the drive's unreadable, a hammer works too.
Well, I told him I thought he was S-O-O-L, and what I do is take it outside to the woods with a sledgehammer and whack it a few times.
That'll do it.
But he's one of these, guys that he never gives up.
All right.
Well. And we'll see what happens. All right. Well, that sounds like a great idea. Thanks a lot.
All right, MJ. Good luck.
Yep. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. Larry, Mike, Jeff, and Mike also. Hang on. We'll get to your calls. We'll do our best. We'll be right back.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. So let's get to work, Dennis. We have lots of callers that
joined us
this morning. We really appreciate it very much. Let's go to Jeff in South Carolina. How's it going down there in South Carolina, Jeff? Jeff, you there? Oh, boy. You probably fell asleep down there.
It's Jeff!
So long. Jeff, you there? All right, we'll put Jeff back on hold. That's okay. We'll get back to him. We'll go to Larry in Middlefield next. What's going on, Larry?
Good morning.
Morning.
I was setting up an account yesterday, online account. It was for, I mentioned Vintage Electronics and Goodwill site, goodwill.com.
Yep.
When I had it set up an account, which is I got a lot of accounts, and I was setting up the account and doing my debit card information and all that. And then this other thing pops up after I thought I was all done. EOFT.XYZ. some sort of scam advisor website. So I click continue. Thought I'd just finish things up. And I got the account running, but it triggered my fraud with my bank.
Yeah. Well, that if you put anything in that site, it is a scam, whatever you put in there.
In general, anytime you ever see a domain ending with XYZ, you want nothing to do with it. People can create domains using that top-level domain, but nothing good ever came from it, ever, anywhere, at any time.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I did it. It triggered the fraud, and then I had to talk to when they call you, the fraud department for the bank. Of course, they sound like they're in India and all that.
Yeah.
But they ask the questions if I, the things, if I made the transactions, and I told them about this one. I said, yeah, I don't know what it is. Yes, that was me.
Well, it's you, but it's not you, right? So that pop-up that came up, clearly you might have something, paying attention to your browser activity. I'm going to say, number one, folks, do not use a debit card ever, ever, ever to buy anything on the internet, period. Don't do it. Use a credit card.
I use a debit card. I have a lot of accounts, and it's also tied with my PayPal. And I use a debit card because I put the money in there that I want to spend, and if the money's not in there,
they can't spend it.
They can't spend it.
That's a fair approach. It's a fair approach, but they're getting access to your bank account, and most people don't do it to the way you're doing it, Larry. So don't use debit cards if you can avoid it. Credit cards will cover your losses, right? So the bank doesn't have to. They might, but they don't have to. And credit cards will cover your losses. They'll debit you back, or they'll not charge you for the fraud. So you definitely were. It seems like you were tricked by that pop-up site that from the searching I'm doing shows that it is a scam. Did you see the same thing, Dennis?
Yes,
it's a scammy site. So whatever popped up on you, which makes me nervous that you might have some sort of browser hijack going on,
right?
Knowing you put in a debit card, right? That's the thing that makes me nervous about what you're doing. So I would contend you could have something going on. You may want to download Malwarebytes and scan your system.
I have that.
Okay. So scan it, because that pop-up shouldn't occur the way it did while you were doing your transaction with a legitimate business.
Yeah, it was in there with the account, and it was like one more thing, and this thing popped up.
Yep.
And it charged me like $1.
Oh, yeah. It's doing a test transaction.
Yeah, it's probing.
It's going to see if that goes before they do the big one. But, of course, you don't put any money in there, so they're going to be disappointed. But many people don't do it
There is money in a debit card because I used it once I got this.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. But, yeah, that was fraud. That was fraud, Larry. We're coming up against a hard break. Is that helpful?
Well, yeah, I know it's fraud in a bank, but I don't know if I continue now, if this particular site.
Yeah, they might know your bank account. I think you may want to do some changes.
You might want to change the bank account number and get a new debit card and all of that.
Yeah. Sorry, Larry. All right, we got to let you go, but thanks for calling in. We'll be right back. Battlestar Galactica.
The original Battlestar Galactica.
I've recommended we play this in our community bands. Can't get that through committee. But it's a good tune. All right. Thanks, Carolyn. Let's go back to your calls. Let's go to South Carolina and see what Jeff's got cooking, hopefully. What's going on, Jeff?
Not much. How you doing?
Good, sir. What we can do for you?
Yeah, I had a couple questions. A couple comments. One of them was... I know a lot of times we'll be talking about the policies and everything that they be making, and they don't have any tech people in the room, or the congressmen.
Yeah, a lot of lawyers, but not enough geeks.
Right.
So what do you think about the geek we got now that's making all these changes?
I'm not upset about it as a libertarian, so I like his chainsaw. That's just me.
Yeah, I got one too.
Exactly.
But I use it on trees.
Right. I hear you, man. I hear you.
Yeah, I use a scalpel on other things.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens, but I don't mind this geek. He's one of the smartest people we have in America, but I'm sure we're going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, back to computer talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to set up a system of network in the home, and I have a system that has Windows 10, and I got one that's Windows 11. I got a couple of laptops.
Yep.
With 10 and 11, one with 10 and 11. So which one should I use to be the main, I guess, server?
Are you going to share data, Jeff?
Yeah, I want to share data between all of them.
Well, I'll tell you not to use any of them. I would tell you to get a NAS.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A NAS. Network-attached storage. It's just a hard drive.
Right.
It's just a hard drive, but it connects to the network. And that's all that it does. It shares files.
Yep.
It's not really a computer. Well, it is a computer, but it's not a full computer. But that's all it does is share files. It'll do that very well. It'll do it very quickly. And, that's probably the best option.
So then every system would access if they wanted to access something, they would access the NAS.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And what kind of security would the NAS have? The security that's on the computers and the laptops?
Well, it'll use what's called SMB or Samba for file sharing between the computers. And on Windows 10 and 11, there is a kind of a basic level of security with that. I wouldn't call it uncrackable, but it is there. Also, it'll have a web interface that you go into, and you'll set up your user accounts, and then you use those user accounts from the computers to connect to it. So you might go into there, and you might create a user named Jeff, who has access to all the files.
Right.
Then from your other computers, you'd connect to the NAS with the username Jeff and whatever password you put in, and it'll read it.
And you can make areas. You can make areas of the NAS to separate your stuff from others if you don't want them to have access.
Right. And you could have Jeff's file share, and then you could have maybe, I don't know, you got a friend that comes over sometimes. You could create a file share for that person, and then their own credentials.
A wife or something like that.
Yeah, the wife. That'll work. But yeah, you can secure it.
NAS, how much do NAS, are they very expensive?
It's all relative, sir, when it comes to technology. So there are some good NASs out there. We recommend Synology, but you can also look at Buffalo. You know, a NAS can cost you, you know, probably something as low as $500 or $600 up to many thousands of dollars. So, but for home SMB, you want a NAS that might have a mirror drive. It's going to say I've got, you know, like maybe a 10 terabyte mirror. So it's going to have two 10 terabyte drives in there. If one fails, the other one's still going to be running. So you can survive a drive failure. You can't survive encryption, though. If your network gets encrypted, the bad guys are probably going to see those shares and encrypt them, too. So keep that in mind. It could also be used as a backup of your workstations. You can configure shares on your computers, like you were talking about earlier, as setting up a quote-unquote server. You could set up certain folders where you share with the wife certain folders on your computer, and she shares folders with you. And that's just a matter of allowing for that admin networking back and forth between the computers. But it all comes down to your budget. You know, probably you could probably get away with maybe sub-500 for a couple terabyte NAS that gives you this ability. How many people are going to be sharing it, Jeff?
Just two.
Just the two of you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, don't go crazy, but there's tons of levels of NASs out there.
Okay. All right.
And especially with the Synology brand, but with some others, there are NASs out there that are really just enclosures. And they have the electronics to do the file sharing, but they don't have any drives. So you have to buy the drives to add to them.
Yep.
So watch what you're buying and make sure that you know what's in it. And if you have to, then buy yourself, you know, a couple extra drives to go inside.
Oh, okay. Okay, then. All right. I know you're going to have this posted on your site after you get off.
Yeah, we'll put a link to a typical NAS.
Okay, then. Great.
Appreciate All right. it. All right, Jeff.
All right. Have a good day.
You too, sir.
All right.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. All right. Here's Jeff. Let's go on. Who's on the longest? Who's on the longest? Mike in Plainville next. Hey, Mike, what can we do for you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Question for you. Well, two questions, really. But if I go with the Proton Suite, so I get the VPN and the mail.
Yes, sir.
It occurs to me that I might want a more secure browser than, say, the Chrome that I'm using now. Can you recommend any that are on that level of, say, security and privacy?
I can't necessarily on the same level, but we do I recommend Brave. It's been a good browser for me. But there's, as far as the an encrypted browser, I really don't know of an encrypted browser. What you would use would be VPN to browse via encryption. Okay. So when you use the Proton VPN, you will be encrypted. Now, keep in mind, wherever you choose on the planet to pop out, their rules apply.
Right.
So just keep that in mind.
Okay. And the second question, my experience in the past with internet providers has been that they include a router, but it's more of a basic router. And I've had experience in the past where I bought my own router and had a better experience. So
sure.
If I go with NetSpeed internet, do they give you a basic router or do they give you a nicer router? And is there advantage with NetSpeed to getting a quote unquote better router?
That's a good question. So yes, you always want to get a newer router these days because fiber is very fast. So you want a router that can handle the bandwidth you're about to get. They will give you a router, I'm pretty sure, but you can buy your own. So they will give you a fiber modem, and it's not really a modem, but they'll give you a device that you could plug into your own firewall, but make sure it's current. It needs to be able to pass that, you know, high speed interface. So if you don't change out your router, it'll be much slower than you'd want. But they will provide one too.
Okay. And are you saying, so the router that NetSpeed will give me is, well, they won't give it to me, but it's a basic router, and it will get the job done.
Right.
But I still can do better on my own finding a router that.
Well, I'm always about self-reliance. So when you have your own firewall, your own router, you control a lot more about your network than when you get it from the internet provider, I think. Nothing about GoNetSpeed that I would say would be bad, but Cox, Comcast, any of these internet providers, as far as I'm concerned, they're done up to the modem. You then take on from there and do what you want with your network. You secure your network. You have the control over your firewall between you and the outside world. When you've got the internet provider right up into your house with their firewall, they are right up to your computer. And I would contend that's less secure.
Correct. Thank you much for your advice, guys.
All right, Mike.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we'll step out for a quick break and then get back to you more of your calls. Mike, Bonnie, and Bob, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. Yes, the classic space tune. All right, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so let's get some work done here as fast as we can. Let's go to Mike in Windsor Locks next. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
I called a couple weeks ago and had an issue with my mouse having a hesitation across the screen as I dragged it along.
Yeah,
yeah.
You had suggested I buy a Bluetooth mouse and take one of the connections off of the docking station. Well, I just wanted to let you know it worked.
It did?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And there's one file that I have that's very large and complicated house plan that it still kind of drags a little, but I'm attributing that to the fact that the file is so big.
Yeah, that could be the case.
Yeah, the other drawings that I'm working on and other things that I do, it seems to have fixed the problem. So
awesome.
I appreciate it. Right. Just wanted to let you know.
Our pleasure. Thank you for letting us know.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. Well, that was nice of him to let us know.
Yeah. Excellent.
You know, we don't get a lot of hate mail. Actually, we don't get any. But nobody yet. I mean, I guess who knows what can happen. But we never really know if our suggestions work. We do our best. But it's nice to know. Let's go on to Bob in Middlebury. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Good, sir.
Hey, I have a very small business, and for years I've been using QuickBooks software back starting in the 90s. And I would eventually, every once in a while, I'd buy a newer version. I have got up to 2015, and for some reason that year, I just thought they were going to, I was buying another version of it. But somehow it turned into a subscription-based software.
Yeah.
And I went on for years. It wasn't terrible. At the end of that year, I was surprised when they said I had to pay them for another year. It was only $200-something I paid.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, I was paying $300, $309 I checked, almost like 5 years.
Yeah.
Then a couple years ago, I went up to 530.
Mm.
Last year, I went up to 640. And this year, I get a charge on my credit card. It was $1,008. And I said, that's got to be a scam. So, you know, so I investigated, and it wasn't a scam. But I got a very small business. I'm getting old, very slowing down, almost retiring, and I just want to keep software going. So I have a 2011 disk and a 2015 disk.
Uh-huh.
And I loaded the software on, and those were not subscription-based softwares. And everything loaded nice in Windows 11, and I was able to look up the license and the product ID number in QuickBooks Online, which was nice because I couldn't find that anywhere. And everything opened up and ran beautiful. But the only thing is I'm worried that it keeps reminding me to register. So I tried registering, and the website it sends you to does no longer exist. And I'm just curious because I want to just start out fresh with 2015 software and just finish my last few years with that software, you know, rather than who knows what the price is going to go up to next year. If it went up from 500 a couple of years ago to 1,000, it would be 2,000 next year.
It could be. So anyways, are you using the online version?
I don't want to go on online. My brother, who has a business, went on there, and he says it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare.
Okay.
So little inputs that took milliseconds with the desktop would take literally minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a snitch or you know something that they fixed. But he had me so convinced not to go into it. And he was a banker, and he was a smart guy.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm curious. I don't want to spend a lot of time incorporating this year into this software, and then 30 days from now, it's going to stop working. I did contact, I talked into QuickBooks a lot lately, and the guy, salesman, he's just a salesman. He says, no, nothing's going to work after that 30 days. You're not going to be able to put any input into there. It's not going to work. And I can't comprehend they have the ability to do that on a software that you bought. Do you think I got to really worry about that happening?
Yep.
Or you think
you do? Yeah, I would be.
Yeah, this is.
I can't register it. I've got the license number in there. I got the product number in. It's running beautiful.
Yeah,
but you don't think it's gonna.
They're gonna want
their
money.
I have an 11. You think I'm 11? If I tried selling that,
You can try anything. I mean, who knows? The older versions may not stop working.
I'm thinking the 2011 version might work without being activated.
Yeah.
I'm not positive.
Yeah.
The 2015, I'm very sure will not work without being activated.
After 30 days. After 30 days.
It's basically
and,
the approach.
I'm curious if I stop subscribing, one guy did tell me I'll be able to access everything, but I won't be able to input anything. So I'll still be able to access and print out reports or whatever up to the year where I stopped. Do you think that's true if I stop subscribing that all that information, if I save the file to my desktop?
Possibly. You should be able to export the company file and reread it, but the problem is you have to read it with a current version because it may not be readable by the old version.
It won't be readable by the old version.
New version, yeah. No, if I just keep, if I was going to start with a new software, even if it wasn't QuickBooks, I just don't want to have access to all my old information. He says I'd still be able to look at that, at my information from, if I keep the software and stop inputting from that point on, he says I'll be able to access everything.
But, as read-only? That's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's getting ridiculous.
Crazy. These subscriptions, you used to buy software, you know, and I'd upgrade every few years because I liked them and I wanted to give them some money, but to start, you know, you have a software you buy, and all of a sudden they just start charging you more than it costs you to buy it every year, a lot more than it costs you to buy it every year. It's, to me, I don't know, everything's subscription-based now, and to me it just drives me crazy.
You're not alone. We work very hard with clients that want to get off. There's lots of hosted versions of QuickBooks on the right network and stuff like that. We're always pulling people off to local versions of QuickBooks. QuickBooks is the bane of our existence when it comes to tech calls. We get a lot of calls about
QuickBooks.
Oh, I've loved it all these years. I'm small, but I never had any payroll or anything. But yeah. I was It was excellent for me. It was perfect.
Yep.
Well, if you're using it
with a Brother word processor for several years, which I like too, back in the early '90s.
Yeah.
So basically, we got
spoiled, Bob. Early on in the computing world, we got spoiled. A lot of free stuff, right? Just join us. Join us here.
Now they're spoiled.
Well, now they say there's nobody else out there. What other quick account, business account?
You know, I have Quicken. I have an older version of Quicken I use for my personal software.
Yeah.
Last year, they tried doing that. They put this big thing on their screen a couple years ago, and it said, please subscribe to our subscription-based program, and we'll eliminate this screen. It wasn't as blunt as that, but it was this big, ugly window stuck on your Windows. And so I did pay them, and I got rid of it.
Jeez.
But I don't think they're subscription-based, though. You think Quicken is now all subscription-based?
It would have to be.
Yeah.
Intuit is going that route.
Intuit doesn't own Quicken anymore.
The other title that's kind of an equivalent of QuickBooks is Sage 50 by Sage Software. It used to be called Peachtree Accounting years ago, but about, 10, 12 years ago, they changed it to Sage 50.
Yeah. And then Sage is owned by Microsoft, I think, too, right?
No, it's its own company.
Is it still?
It's a British company.
All right.
Yeah.
It's more expensive.
It is more expensive. But it is, so far, Sage has not started pushing people to an online platform.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they will someday, but they haven't been doing it yet.
Yep.
A lot of people don't like doing that, putting all your files up on in the cloud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Intuit's been pushing people toward their cloud product for actually several years now.
They really have, yeah.
Heavily.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where people looking to buy QuickBooks literally cannot find the downloadable and installable version.
Right. And stop in 2022.
You have to know. Yeah, 22 is the year, right?
Well, I think
you have to know where to go on their website to get it, and you can't just search for it. Can't even search inside their website for it.
Yeah. Sorry, Bob. That's the way the world's going, I guess.
Well, all right. Well, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, well, thank you. We appreciate you.
Yep. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. These subscriptions are getting crazy.
And it's not just Intuit.
No.
Microsoft's doing it. Adobe has been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Adobe is probably the worst offender because there are several of their titles you literally cannot buy in retail installable format.
And we also talked about this. If you buy content, like even from Amazon or what have you, and you download a movie, let's say in the old days when you bought a disc, guess what? You owned it.
Yeah, it's there as long as you want to watch it.
But when you buy that $25 license to watch it, it may not last forever.
Yeah.
They might decide someday, you don't get access to this anymore. Dunkirk, you liked it. I'm sorry. You paid for it. But guess what? You no longer have it. So this is a license, not an ownership the way it used to be when it comes to just buying those CDs. It's the way the world's going. I don't like it either. It does seem like it's ridiculously expensive. You're a small business. You're going to spend $1,000 a year on your subscription to QuickBooks.
Yeah, it's brutal. But that Sage 50 that we were talking about, in a lot of cases, that's even more expensive.
Oh, yeah. Let's try to get Bonnie in real quick here before the end of the program. Hey, Bonnie, what's up?
Hi. I'm very confused about the fiber internet and phone services, and Frontier is getting very pushy at this point. We just currently have a Wi-Fi account with Frontier for internet computer equipment.
Yeah.
And now they want to add the phones to and everything on fiber.
Right.
Okay. I need to really know where the ONT will be and where the router will be located and if they need to be hardwired together. So I have an idea of what parts of the house they will be accessing.
Hmm. So do you use an old-fashioned, plain old telephone line right now, copper line?
Yes. Yeah. And we have 6 phones. And I've been told by the 4 different people that I've spoken to at Frontier, one said they would work because they work now, but now they're not on that sort of system. And others have said maybe they'll work, and one flat out said no, they won't work.
All talking to the same people at Frontier, right?
4 different people.
Yeah. Don't you love that? So, The answer that I would think would be the correct answer is that if they're going to give you telephone service, it's going to be emulated the same way cable does it. So they're going to give you a modem near your fiber modem now, and they're going to then emulate POTS by turning it into copper. They're going to turn the lines into copper, and they're going to plug the existing copper lines into this emulated box. So wherever your lines are now, they should work. Now, I don't work at Frontier. Could they screw it all up? Yep. But I think emulated is the way it's going to work for you. And that does work if they're offering emulated POTS. So when you call them back and say, are you going to emulate my copper lines? And if they say, I don't know what emulated means, then just, get rid of your copper lines. Forget it. But if they do understand that, they should say, yes, Bonnie, that's what we're going to do. And as long as we can get those lines into this little modem device, this little emulator that's going to transmit and convert from plain old copper into voice over IP, which is what they're going to be doing, that should work for you.
Then the old phones would work, even yes. though some of yeah. them have cords. Remember
yes.
those?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we love cords.
Okay, but we don't have fiber for anything now.
Okay.
We have a 3 Mbps.
Oh, you've got DSL.
Oh.
Yes.
You're going to love the improvement if they're charging you the same amount of money to go to fiber. So if the price is right and you don't have any other competition, check with GoNetSpeed. If they're in Windsor, they might be an alternative, but you're going to have a huge improvement over your 3 megabit DSL service. That I can tell you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they want me to go to 1G, but some say
you don't need that.
No.
Okay.
500 is plenty. Buy as little as you can. You're at 3 now. Why would they tell you to go to 1,000? That's just cuckoo. Yeah. All right, yeah. Bonnie, we got to go.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. They're at 3 megabits. Go to 1,000. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. Thank Mike G for posting everything. And thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. You guys jammed up the phone, so we appreciate it.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you next Saturday.